You're listening to the WGU Alumni Podcast, a podcast all about noteworthy night owls. Join us each episode as we highlight WGU alumni and share ways to help you stay engaged. Here now is the WGU Alumni Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the WGU Alumni Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Burton, and I'm joined by my fearless co-host, Sarah Van Winkle. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going today?
You know, it's going pretty well. How about yourself?
You know, it's a good day in January, and, you know, it's great to be back in the quote-unquote virtual booth with you and Bethany, our producer. It's always great to get together with you guys and talk about more alumni.
We have a lot of fun on this podcast, and I'm excited because, you know, right into the new year, we get to share another really amazing story of an inspiring graduate, Christine Granato.
You know, I was really excited, Jeff, to see her name on our graduate list last summer. We've been trying to get her on the podcast for a while, and we were finally able to get that to come together. And for her to be able to participate last summer was really special. As you'll hear in the episode, she's had pretty major health challenges. And again, she's just showing us what it takes to be a night owl, no matter what your circumstances are.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, a quick update, as you will hear, she's doing better health-wise, which is awesome. We're so glad to hear that. But one of the cool things, Sarah, that I have to share, one of the reasons we couldn't make this happen sooner is because she was starting a new job. And it's like, we love to hear that. And it's like, absolutely, we'll schedule this when it works for you, because we're completely in support of a new job that she started, which was really cool.
Yes. And you know what? We can always just talk more if we need to, Jeff, because I'm sure our listeners love that.
I agree. So, Sarah, let's jump into the interview. She's going to inspire, I think, all of us, not only with her amazing story, but she's going to share quite a bit of wisdom for the things that she has learned along the way as she's been battling cancer. She's inspiring her young family. She's inspiring our audience as well. So without further ado, Sarah, what do you say we get started?
Yeah, let's listen to Christine's story.
What do you want your legacy to be? This question stared Christine Granato squarely in the face after not one but two bouts with cancer. Christine, who at the time of her stage 4 diagnosis was a student at WGU, began wondering about her legacy. 2 years earlier, doctors shared the grim news that the disease was incurable. A nurse, wife, and mother, Christine went into a deep depression. Strengthened by the support of her family, medical professionals, as well as from her WGU mentor, Christine was able to develop the mindset of acceptance is everything. This period of introspection had her wanting to complete important life goals, things she felt were realistic with an end date in sight. One of those lifelong goals was to finish what she started at WGU. Christine made a pact with herself that she would do or simply die trying. With this amazing vision into the future, Christine completed her bachelor's degree in July 2020, walked in WGU's virtual commencement in August, and then started a new job in September as a clinical manager at a pediatrics group in Newark, New Jersey. A few months later, Christine, who was never done learning, enrolled in the Master's of Health Leadership degree program here at WGU. Christine, it's such an honor to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. We've been talking about doing this interview for quite a while, and I'm glad that here into 2021 that we're actually getting it done.
Thank you. Yes, I'm excited to be here.
Now time flies, does it not?
Yeah.
Well, Christine, we very much appreciate you joining. You are one of the most amazing graduates that I've had the pleasure of speaking with, and I want to get into your story and get some wisdom from you, some perspectives and various things like that. But before we do that, we always like to ask the question just to get to know you a little bit better. But you are from the New Jersey area. So what is your favorite thing about your hometown of Elizabeth, New Jersey?
Well, since you mentioned before, it kind of popped in my head a little. But aside from the amazing pizza, we are also pretty close to Philly, which, you know, they're famous for their cheesesteaks. So I have New York City and the proximity to New York City and Philadelphia. I love that about this area. Above all, of course, is the food. It's the pizza and the cheesesteaks.
I would agree with you. So how close are you to Philadelphia?
It's about an hour and a half west, and then an hour north is New York City.
Okay, so if I gave you only one place you could go to eat, New York or Philly, what direction are you heading?
I'm going to New York.
Who makes the best pizza in New York?
Oh, that's tough. I wouldn't know by name, but I can tell you it's definitely not one of those chain pizzerias.
Yeah.
It's like it's those places that give you the slice size of your head pizza, and it's like $2 for a slice, and you're good to go. That's the kind of pizza I like.
I'm totally right there with you. Love the streets of New York City and the pizza that you can buy there for sure.
Yeah.
So to kind of jump in, you and I have been talking for the last few months about various things and getting you on the podcast and, again, highlighting your story. From the bio that I read at the beginning, we know that the topic that we're discussing is a little bit heavy, but I was wondering, since you and I last talked, if you could give us an update on your health and how things are going.
Of course. So I had my 3-month PET scan last month, I believe it was, and it came back totally normal. I'm still in remission, which I'm very thankful for. It is also January, which is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month. The organization that I utilize, obviously, the most is the one who provides care for me, which is Sloan Kettering. They have a lot of information online on their website about Cervical Cancer Awareness Month and the staging information and kind of signs and symptoms to look out for. But aside from that, I like to do a lot of self-promoting too. You know, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and I try to share my story, some of my pictures, if I kind of as far as I can. And also, I recently spoke to it's like a research company who's trying to do a kind of like an event for cervical cancer awareness. So I had my first interview with them last week. This week, I'm supposed to speak to them again. So I'm excited for that also.
That is outstanding. And I just have to go back to your news of being in remission. That is so awesome.
Thank you. That is so cool.
We are jumping up and down for you, Christine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we had our own little celebration here too. So
that is really cool. So Christine, tell us a little bit about the motivation to get your degree in the first place, because when you first enrolled at WGU, you had pretty grim news and you were determined to keep going. How come?
You know, I wanted to be a good example to my kids, and I wanted them to see, even if the worst possible outcome, which would have been, you know, a very premature death after getting that news, I wanted to make sure I had something that my kids saw, that even in the face of bad news, I still continued and completed a lifelong goal. You know, that goes back to when I mentioned, I think everybody should identify early in life what their goals that they would do or die trying really to complete. So if it's important enough that even in the face of the absolute worst possibility of an outcome, you're still wanting to do it, or you're still making yourself do it, I think it speaks volumes, even when you're not here, you know, to say it yourself. My kids being able to see that I went through all that and still finished is a big accomplishment and something they can be proud of in the future.
Not only are you inspiring your kids and your family and those that you work with and those that you're close with, I think through this podcast and through social media and various things, you're inspiring all those around you, because I think our entire audience, I know I'm inspired. Every time I talk to you, you're always optimistic. You're always looking to the future. And again, you face some tough days, but you keep going. And now things are improving on your behalf. And so that's got to feel really, really good.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how I never really appreciated my future fully until I knew that it was potentially going to end soon. So weirdly, it took something that severe and bad to make me value the future so much more.
And I would imagine that you've received a lot of advice from people, from doctors, from psychiatrists, psychologists, people like that. Yeah. What's been the best advice that you've received through all of this?
A lot of people tell me take it one day at a time. And at first I was like, oh, that's so corny. It's so cliche. But you know what? It's so true. All you really can be sure of and all you're guaranteed is right now. So I think that's helped me a lot, even with school or any little goals that I have. It's how much of it can I take care of today, and not so much, you know, what my long-term goals are. Even though those are important, you still have to kind of try to live in the now, you know?
Yeah.
So that's been probably the most important advice that I've gotten. And, you know, I've struggled with depression, and I still see a psychiatrist, psychologist. A lot of it is kind of forcing yourself to see things in a positive light. because no matter how terrible a situation may appear, there is, even for the most pessimistic person, there is always something positive that you can take from the experience. So I've kind of started to train myself more and really hold on to that, is just reframing everything in a very positive light and seeing, well, I know this is bad, but what good can I take out of it? And, you know, kind of holding on to that and moving forward.
I love that. Sort of a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Really neat. Again, you finished your degree back in July, mm-hmm. and you walked in August at our virtual commencement. Can you take us back and share kind of some of the emotions and thoughts that were running through your head at that time?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So we were on vacation. We were in North Carolina, and yeah, we were in a hotel room. And I remember I wasn't with my mom. I was with my husband and my kids. And I was like, we have to watch this. So I called my mom. We all logged onto the computer and started watching it and like freaked out when my name popped up. And my sister actually recorded it a little bit. And then, you know, she shared it with any of the other family that couldn't see it. But oh my gosh, it was very emotional for me because, you know, it was this moment I had been working towards for what felt like forever, you know, and my kids actually got to hear them say my name and see my picture. So
really cool. I believe you submitted your video, right, as part of that ceremony?
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. How many years had you been working on getting a bachelor's degree? I mean, it was several years, right?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I became a licensed practical nurse when I was 20. So from that point forward, I can't tell you, I've taken so many college courses here and there, trying to go for a bachelor's in nursing because I felt like that was the next, you know, that should have been my next step. But I was so much more interested in the business and the administrative side that I ended up going for the bachelor's in healthcare administration. But it's definitely years in the making. But officially from WGU, it was from 2018 to 2020. So 2 years.
Well, that's really cool. And I understand, again, this is since we last talked, I understand you've enrolled in another degree program at WGU. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I love this program. I really do. It's the Masters of Health Leadership. And I have to say, it before when I was just like a prospective student and I was just checking it out, it looked interesting and it kind of spoke to like my interests in like patient-centered care and not so hardcore business, but more like health outcomes and population management and all that. Now that I'm in it, I have to tell you, it doesn't even feel like I'm doing school. Like it honestly feels like I'm working on a big project, you know, that will potentially impact the entire healthcare system. So I think this program is amazing. The mentors and the teachers and the classes are fantastic. So it hasn't really felt like a challenge. I mean, challenging, yes, because I have to kind of, you know, I have to do a lot of research to get my information to write my papers, but it's just been fun to do. So I'm halfway through it already.
Are you really? Wow. Well, that's cool. And they say, right, if it's something you're passionate about, it doesn't feel like you're working or it doesn't feel like you're studying. Cause it's
it really doesn't. Yeah.
Well, Christine, a minute ago, you mentioned, you know, some of the advice or some of the things that you've learned through this process. And I know as you and I have been going back and forth on this interview, you wanted to share just a couple of insights of really lessons learned through this process. You already mentioned reframing everything in a positive light, but I understand there's a couple of additional lessons learned that you wanted to share. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And now this applies to my medical journey and my school journey, and you can really apply it to anything else. But one huge lesson I would say is to remember to lean on your available support. So for some people, you know, that could be your parents, it could be family, your husband, best friends. For me, it was definitely family. And on the medical side, it actually came together because I needed to reach out to social worker, psychiatrist, psychologist, just to kind of get myself in a place where I was able to continue doing school. So I would say leaning on your support groups, family, and in the case of anyone who's sick, definitely use the medical resources you have as well to get through anything you're going through. And another really important one is to make sure you don't put too much on the end result, if that's graduating or if that's remission or whatever that end result looks like to you. Make sure you go easy on yourself and you enjoy the journey itself and you celebrate small wins. It's not always about the end. I even went into this master's program again with this mentality that there is a chance that I won't finish it because of my health problems. But I'm really trying to enjoy the process and take something from each class and even try to apply it, you know, whether I'm in a workplace setting or at home, or make sure you're easy on yourself and you take time to enjoy the journey.
Oh, I love that. How do your kids and your husband feel about you going back and earning an additional degree?
My oldest, he's got so many questions. He didn't really understand like the difference between the bachelor's degree and the master's degree. I mean, he's 13, but it's actually a great time for me to have these conversations with him. He's very proud of me that I'm going back, and he's very curious about it. So I think it's preparing him to figure out what he wants his, you know, educational path to look like.
Yeah.
My baby, he's only one, so he doesn't really know, but I can tell you that he tries to take my laptop all the time and destroy it. So, and my husband is always, he's always very supportive of me continuing my education. I'm not sure if he's going to expect me to go back for a doctorate after this, which I doubt. I don't even think I have the intellectual capacity to do it, but, and he's very supportive of me achieving my goals. So everybody's happy and I guess a little motivated too. So
that's good.
Yeah.
You're definitely leaving a legacy. That is for sure.
Thank you. That's my ultimate goal.
Very cool. And then what do you hope to do with this degree once you finish the program?
If my health continues to cooperate, like I'm pretty sure I'm doing better than they anticipated, but I really hope to make big changes in healthcare. You know, I love working for women's health, women's rights, things like that. So I'd love to see myself in a leadership position in like maybe Planned Parenthood or something that gives back to women and their kind of unique health issues, the things that they have to deal with. So
another interest of mine would be to work maybe in some kind of government position that would impact healthcare. You know, even nationally, I have really big goals if my health cooperates. Otherwise, I'm really happy to just take this knowledge. I feel like every class I take is helping me understand healthcare, even from a patient's perspective, like how everything's changing. So whether I get to those dream jobs or not, I think it's very valuable what I'm learning. So,
well, that's great. Continued success in all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, Christine, again, a sincere thank you and appreciate all that you do, all that you've accomplished, and really for inspiring me, for inspiring our growing alumni base. You truly are the best. So we appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy that you reached out and let me be a part of this.
Well, I'd like to give you the final word. So any final thoughts or any final things that you'd like to share with the audience?
Sure. I wanted to leave the audience with a few points and maybe some resources, some information that I wish I would have heard at some point or another. But from a academic perspective, I would say identify your goals early on and do anything you need to do to achieve them. I really believe that setting goals is easy, but you know, enjoying that process and getting to the end is sometimes a daunting thing for a lot of people. A lot of people have kids, they're divorced, they're sick. But I think I'm probably the most average person that you can think of. And if I made it through, I hope that this podcast gives somebody else the motivation or the hope to be able to get through it as well. I did want to mention a account on Instagram. Like I said, I do try to share. There is a story of my cancer journey through a page called Survivor. It's spelled with a C. So they could literally just put Christine Granato Survivor and my story pops up. There's also a few cancer pages that have promoted my story on Instagram. There's also one I wanted to mention because it's been such a great support for me. For anybody who's listening who may be dealing with cancer or have somebody in their families who they're taking care of that have cancer, there is a page called, it's literally at the cancer patient. They kind of make cancer funny in a way. And for some people, that's, you know, we kind of need that to get through. So along with the humor, there's actually a lot of tips and a lot of information. And the person who runs it is amazing. It's kind of interactive. You know, you send them information and they can respond to you. And then that other page that has my story on it is actually called Stupid Cancer. And they're also a website that you could just Google my name and Stupid Cancer, or you can actually go to their Instagram, which is at Stupid Cancer. And then if you scroll down a few months ago that they posted my story, and, you know, and make sure you could even follow the hashtag Cervical Cancer Awareness for this month. And you're going to find loads of information on signs and symptoms, when you should go see a doctor. And honestly, the last thought I would leave any of the women listening to this podcast right now is to never skip your screening tests, because cancer, when it's caught early, it's the difference between life and death. So I wouldn't wish any of the surgeries, the chemo, the radiation on anybody. Definitely stay on top of your pap smears and your mammos.
Great advice, Christine. You are hardly average. I would say that you're amazing. So I know that you're modest and we appreciate that about you. But I just got to call you out on that.
Thank you. You guys are amazing too. Thank you.
Well, Christine, thank you for the time, and let's keep in touch. Maybe we'll have you back in the future and you can give everybody an update.
Yeah, I'll be graduating by then, I hope.
Awesome. Well, Christine, thanks again.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the WGU Alumni Podcast. To learn more about WGU Alumni and commencement, visit wgu.edu/alumni. To learn more about anything you heard on this episode or to hear past episodes, visit wgu.edu/podcast. This podcast was produced by the WGU Alumni Relations Department. Special thanks to producer Bethany Tucker from the WGU Production Studio. And thank you to our WGU Alumni Network, now more than 200,000 strong and growing.